what I'm meaning to communicate is, you know, if a heresy hunter has an issue with what I'm saying, like, worry about yourself. But the way they received it was, well, go fart.
You already know. It's the Joe Kingdom Perspective.
What's up, my friends? Welcome back to the Joe Kingdom Perspective. This is the show that gives you a kingdom perspective on clips from the Joe Rogan Experience so that you can identify how the kingdom is advancing in the most unexpected of places, in the most unexpected of ways, and through the most unexpected of people. I'm your host, Dub Alexander, and with me today are the usual suspects, my co-hosts and great friends, the Ryan Pena. What's up, man?
Hey, doing good. How are you?
Good. Dr. Tony Robinson.
Hey, we doing well.
We've got Lance back there producing, making it all happen. And he's about to play a clip from one of the newer episodes at the time of this recording, where Joe and comedian Kevin James are talking about comedic art form. And I've been so fascinated lately with the reality that the most impactful truth tellers in culture today are the comedians. Comedians are the ones who are uncancelable, who are having the ability to voice truth, to bring people together, and because they make you laugh. That's the thing that blends humanity into a state of either agreement or at least the ability to disagree harmoniously. And so, Lance, play this clip, and then we're going to talk about how this really speaks to anybody whose purpose is to communicate.
If I'm entering a bit, you're not like, committed, or you want to be talking about this. I wish I didn't bring this one up. Like, if I ever get to that place, like, you just have to fight off that thought. There's this thought that comes into your mind, like, oh, why did I bring this up? I don't want to do this bit. You can't, but you can't say, you know what, fuck that bit.
Yeah.
Because then the audience would be like, what?
Yes. Yes.
No. So you just have to never let yourself get to the mindset where you're like, I don't want to do this. You got to remember, there was something, whatever the subject is, there was something about that subject that when you initially started writing a joke about it, it was resonating right with you. And you were like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
But if you hear it too many times, it's like anything else. You get tired of it. It loses its luster. But that's just a mental weakness. You just have to realize, get your head wrapped around that you can't allow yourself to think that way. And surely this thought originally was valid because that's why you're so excited about it. That's why you wrote a bit about it. The audience doesn't know that you've said it 100 times over the last year,
right,
or more. They just want to hear it.
Right.
So they want to hear it from fresh eyes. So you have to put yourself in fresh eyes.
Right.
You have to be able to do that. And that's the trick. And it's not like you're faking it either. You have to actually really be thinking about it like you think about it. If you want it to work at the best, you know, like when a bit is really sharp,
yeah,
you're on. You have to be thinking about it as you're like enthusiastically,
as it's coming to you. Yeah,
you gotta be actually engaged
right
with each part of it while it's happening.
So the reason that this clip really stood out to me is because I feel like it parallels the journey of a revelator. And all that we mean by that, we would all three be revelators. And all we mean by that is those who have a passion for understanding the mysteries of the kingdom and being able to articulate those truths in such a way that actual communication takes place. And so that the sons and daughters of God walk away from any place that any of us may be speaking with a deeper level of understanding the truth about the nature of the king and his ways, the kingdom. And I know that on my journey, like, sometimes, you know, the first thing that I really began to catch, the first revelation I began to catch was concerning the original intent mm-hmm. of humanity, what the kingdom actually was. And then, you know, a couple of years in, by now, I'm like catching some new aspects. And it's so hard to not be so captivated by the newest revelation mm-hmm. that you've caught that you lose value for the original revelation that you first found. Because oftentimes we will find ourselves speaking to a group of people who have never heard the first revelation, mm-hmm. who have never heard original intent. And I may want to drop something about the consubstantiality of the Trinity on them, but I realize they need a basic revelation in this moment. They need to hear about the original intent. And so I have to choose, I need to remember what it feels like when that is the first time you have heard that truth, mm-hmm. so that I'm able to connect with the power and the passion of that truth and deliver it in an impactful way so that it takes that group of people from where they are to where God wants to take them in that moment. Mm-hmm. And so I'm calling this episode Rogan's Advice for Revelators, because I feel like revelators around the world can learn from comedians right now, and this is a great way to do that. So did this resonate with you guys in the same way? What are you guys seeing?
You know, it resonated with me. One thing about comedians is that they have to do this, is they have to be able to read the room.
Yes.
So their comedic timing, what they're going to make jokes about, how they make jokes, will definitely have to align itself with the atmosphere of the room, although they are atmosphere shifters. But they have to first be aware of the atmosphere that needs to be shifted. And so sometimes, like, it's like, oh, I have this powerful joke, but man, this is a brand new audience. They are, let's say, in India, and so this might go over their head. So what I can do is pull back from the original jokes that I would tell, and it's almost like a parfait. So we start there to build you up into what we already know, laying a foundation, and then we add another layer of the new revelation so that it's a healthy portion of each, so they're able to digest each. And because they have a little bit of each, they're able to eat it all and get the fullness of what I wanted to say from the first part. Yep.
The art of the setup.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, let's see. So we met Dub in 2020, March of 2020. And over that first year, you know, having conversations, finding out so much of the journey and all those things that we'd been on were so similar. And I remember at some point a conversation we had where I was talking about, like, man, I mean, this is stuff that's like 10, 15 years old, you know, like this. And I remember you mentioned to me, you said, Ryan, it might be 10 to 15 years old for you, but it's now, those are now words for where people are right, you know, in this time period. Mm-hmm. And that helped me because because to me it was like, that's old news.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, my cousin Ernie would always joke about, like, Ryan is like, preach it one time and then it's done. Like, I won't talk about it again. And I was just always going from, you know, next piece.
It's to in
next
the
piece.
Journal, next page.
Yeah. Yeah. And just always, but not really having a value. And I think when I began to understand the apostolic, which is building, mm-hmm. I began, and I would hear, and I would read Paul say things like, I'm not afraid to tell you the things that I've told you before,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. To tell you that's again,
yep.
those things that I've told you before, mm-hmm. because I'm laying foundations. And I remember, I mean, there were times where I was preaching things that were either just like the same type of concept, maybe mm-hmm. just on a different light, different example or whatever, or just kind of rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hit this again real quick. I want you to get this, right? And those were part of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
Those things were part of my journey, and I was taking people on the journey with me. And so I think it's important to recognize that. So there might be people that are hearing something that you've been preaching, that you've yes. been sharing for years, but bring them on the journey with you.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them on the journey in the sense of, like, hey, listen, you know, this is where I remember, this is what I was taught, this is what I used to believe, whatever. And then this scripture and or somebody said this and it made me search that or what, and take them on that journey with you. And here's the thing, because you want to keep that fresh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember, like, when I was first, man, this would have been maybe 2015 when I was, I think I had read Baxter's book, C. Baxter Kruger, on Jesus and the
Undoing of Adam.
Yeah, Jesus and the Undoing of Adam. That was incredible. I want to say it was 2013, 2014, somewhere around there. And that was so powerful. I mean, and I had already been on this whole thing of the atonement and what did Jesus accomplish, right? That Jesus wasn't paying off the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like what you say in SOK, right?
He's a good father, not the Godfather.
Yes, and so he didn't need to be paid off to finally accept us.
God.
And so, you know, whenever I would hear, here's how you know it's fresh, that, like, it could be 20 years old, mm-hmm. but still fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
when I would hear other people share on those types of things, I'd hear other people talk about what Jesus accomplished and the finished work and atonement and it would resonate in me.
Yes.
Like, I've preached that dozens of times, mm-hmm. but it's still, and that's one of the things I'm like, Holy Spirit, I don't want that bread to become stale.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want fresh bread, you know, and I want that bread to just continue to have a freshness on it. Keep breathing on it. Keep causing it to come alive in me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in this context of being revelators, I know with comedians, there can be some different contexts or whatever, but in the sense of communicating truth, I really, you know, that's part of my prayer is Lord, let this be something that is still fresh and alive 20 years from now. And I think that's part of it. And recognizing that people can connect with your journey to join you mm-hmm. on the journey.
Yes.
So anyway.
Yes. So good. It reminds me last year before last, we were at preacher school. And one of the things is that he has us do is take a passage of scripture and we have 3 minutes, right, to look at it. And then you have to come up with the word out of it. And it's a way you have to look at it. And so everyone looks and everybody wants to get deep with the revelation because it's like, okay, we're going deep. Like, what's this revelation? And it was a passage about Moses when he encountered the burning bush. And so everybody's getting all deep and they're giving up with their three minutes. And it's super deep. And so Nate Edwardson is telling the story because it was a group of from his young people and all the kids, they all know it. They're getting deep. And there's a new girl and she's new to the faith, but she's in this group. And so she's like, wait a minute, like I have questions. And they're like, okay, because everybody's going real deep and they all know the story. And so it speaks to you like other people. It's old to us. It's brand new to other people. And so we have to remember that. And she's like, first of all, who is Moses? And why the hell is nobody freaking out that there's a bush that's burning and it won't go out? So this is brand new to her. So she's like, I need a backstory. Like, what's happening right now? And it's like, so sometimes as revelators, we get fresh revelation and it's deep and wonderful and we want to go deep with it. But if we don't remember that this is new to everyone else, that yes, we did. This is 15 years old for some people. Mm-hmm. And for other people, you know, they just found out that Jesus was alive last night. So we want to be able to bring everybody along with us. And mm-hmm. how do we do that in such a way that everybody can take something away mm-hmm. from it? So mm-hmm. I love that, Ryan.
It's funny. Y'all probably experienced this when you're sharing a message, sharing, you know, revelation or whatever, and you get somebody that brings feedback on a certain part that really spoke to them, mm-hmm. really jumped out of them. And I was thinking, that's the last part I would have thought
mm-hmm.
would have spoken to somebody. Like mm-hmm. that was just like basic introduction. Like, but that's the thing. And I remember sometimes people would say like, man, that one thing that you said right there, that just really like, poof. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, wow, that wasn't even like the good stuff. Like for me.
Right.
And, but what it was beginning to teach me was how the things that maybe I've become familiar with
mm-hmm.
or that I'm, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, that's a basic thing. That's not always where people are.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to value even the most simple or basic things when you speak, when you teach, when you preach, whatever it is, whenever you communicate, that you will be surprised at the things that people connect with.
Yes.
That you never would have thought
mm-hmm.
that would have been the one thing. And so, and there's times where I'll get a thought to yep. share something. I'm like, that's just too basic or whatever. But man, sometimes you need to just go with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know this might be basic to some of you, but I just want to mention this one quick thing. Mm-hmm. And that could be the thing that really sparks something in somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's good. We're thinking on the same lines there. It's like Joe said, you know, that thought originated from somewhere. Mm. So it has value in the moment and it will add value to the room. If we can remember to think about what we're thinking about. So it's like, oh, that thought, like, where did it just come from? And it's like, okay, this is lending itself to the conversation that's on the table, whether you might get like the download might not even be a download. It may be a memory that comes up from a certain time. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh God, are we going to talk about this right now? Are we? Okay, we're talking about this right now. So I'm going to put a pin here and share this. And all of a sudden it ties in everything else together. And we don't want to forget this. I don't know about y'all, but this happens to me probably more than it should, or more than like I'll be sharing something. Then I'll get a thought and it's like, okay, let's talk about this. And I'm like, oh, this is so good for the people. But we're the people that is good for it's like, oh, that was for me. So we're getting an answer. We're getting solutions to things as we're presenting solutions. So in our ability to bring revelation to others, we find ourselves also receiving revelation.
Before we continue this conversation, I've got a question for you. Are you harboring fear of the future in your heart because you've been told everything's getting darker, everything must get worse, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, watch out for the Antichrist, for the beast, be prepared for the rapture, all sorts of hot nonsense? This episode is brought to you by School of Kingdom, and we would like to offer you a different perspective on what is happening, a kingdom perspective that, as it says in Isaiah, of the increase of the government, which is the kingdom, and the peace, which is what the kingdom brings, there will be no end. Things are getting better. Head over to kingdomendtimes.com to hear a different perspective. And I'm just telling you, you can exchange that fear for joy and peace. Things are getting better. Jesus is on the throne and you are here as his representative. Let's advance the kingdom with peace and joy.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
To take a verse intentionally out of context, everybody calm down, because it is applicable. It makes me think of that, you know, returning to your first love. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to shift your mental and your emotional state back to when what you would now see as an elementary revelation, back mm-hmm. to when that thing blew your mind, mm-hmm. because the impartational power that comes when you release revelation from that place is going to hit at a whole another level.
Yes.
And I think another key for this that really helps is when you do go places and speak to cultures that you're not familiar with, because you understand, oh man, I've got to, how do I revisit that truth and say it in a different way so that it has the ability to land, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's so funny to me too. I'm sure we all have some crazy stories. So last year I had used, so I've got ghetto tendencies, right? So I used some hip hop slang, right? And so I was speaking to a people group from another nation and I used the phrase, well, pop off then. And afterwards, someone reached out to me and said, here, that means to pass gas. And so I had, so I'm revelating that what I'm meaning to communicate is, you know, if a heresy hunter has an issue with what I'm saying, like, worry about yourself. But the way they received it was, well, go fart, you know? And it's so hilarious and it's humbling, right? It's good to recognize your place in culture and all of that. And something I've been thinking about here lately is, I think that in charismatic culture, we can take the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation of tongues and box it into this tiny little mm-hmm. box that's super impressive about, you know, one, either being able to speak in another language that you have never learned, or two, you know, Holy Spirit is praying through you using sounds and articulation that you don't understand what's happening, or perhaps, you know, you're picking up a word in a angelic or a heavenly tongue, right? And then interpretation needs to follow. And I'm down for all that. I walk in all that. But I think that outside of that, tongues and the interpretation of tongues looks like being able to read the room.
Yes.
In different cultures, mm-hmm. with different people groups, in different nations, and being aware enough, this is how I have it locked and loaded to say, but I need to shift it in the moment. Mm-hmm. I need to articulate it in a different way, still in English, but say it a different way so that I'm speaking the native tongue of that people group and they have the ability to interpret what it is that I'm saying based upon that. And so, yeah, what do you guys think on that?
I think that's brilliant. I remember when we went to the Philippines and our interpreters told us, okay, now don't use slang and then don't use a lot of jokey jokes because they won't understand it because
I can't go.
They don't have they don't have the same kind of slang or the same kind of joke. So you want to make sure we don't lose the people, lose them in translation. And those are some things that it was a team of like 14 of us, 12 or 14, that we hadn't had to previously think about. And it's like, okay, how would this translate here? Like, I wouldn't have known that pop off then means go, you know, pass gas somewhere else. I'd have thought it meant, you know, get your guns, let's go, we hitting the streets, you know, that thug life. So it's beneficial in being able to have the gift of tongues and interpretation. What does that look like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking about this. I think when it comes to communication, mm-hmm. if you're looking for the wow factor, mm-hmm. then that's going to be a hit and miss.
Yes.
If you're looking to give understanding, then it's when I'm just trying to help people understand, mm-hmm. and bring them on the journey, that I think communication can be much more effective, mm-hmm. because I'm thinking about what are some ways that we can connect the dots here versus what are ways I can get a shout from the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, listen, let's face it. We all know, I remember in when I was in Bible college, one of the professors was talking about this one preacher that was a really dynamic preacher, real power, you know, strong voice and charismatic, you know. And so one time they saw the preacher's notes. And so they had, you know, their 3 points. Mm-hmm. And in parentheses on the side of one of the points, it said, "Weak point, shout loud."
Mm.
Weak point, shout loud. And that was so he knew that's a weak point. I got to really hit it hard and just shout it hard and preach the house down, you know. And it's funny, but you know, the thing is this, is that I think sometimes we look at style more than we look at substance.
Mm.
And the style of something, like, there are styles that resonate with different cultures, mm-hmm. different denominations, different whatever, right? But I would say this, is that your greatest anointing is just in, you know, if that is your style, if that's your style, then hey, man, go for it.
Yes.
That's awesome. But I would say in your style, look to communicate,
yes,
understanding and mm-hmm. truth more than getting a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also encourage people to look at your substance more than your style.
Yes.
Because your substance is really what is going to stick. I mean, there's mm-hmm. things, there are times I remember a phrase. I don't remember who said it,
mm-hmm.
how they said it. I just remember the concept. I remember mm-hmm. the content. I remember the substance of it. And that's just stuck with me, you know, all my life or for years. So anyway, you know, I know that we sometimes look at, man, we gotta try to move that crowd. I mean, I heard a preacher one time, well-known preacher, if I said the name, you would all know. They came to San Antonio and they were like, you know, I can make a cat cry at a dog funeral, you know? And I know how to move the crowd. And I was like, I'm not sure, is this a good thing? Is this like,
right?
And they're all, but I just want to be real with y'all today. I was like, what about all the other times?
Oh, dang. Oh my goodness.
So anyway, I think when we just, let's love truth, mm-hmm. let's love people, and let's put value on people grasping that truth or that concept and having that effect in their life. That's what's, you know, really going to bring some transformation.
Man, you know, that sheds a light on something that I think we see a lot of today, or at least I see a lot of it today, is that when you said like the style versus the substance, right? Is are we dropping revelation for the sake of bringing people into understanding, or are we dropping revelation for the sake of an Instagrammable moment?
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point now where I can tell when the vibrato changes, the tone changes, the stance changes. Oh, I don't have to read the notes. I know that you have this 3-minute window or 2-minute or 30 seconds that this is going to be a clip that's going to go out on social media. And because it's going to be a hit point, right? Because you're thinking, I'm dropping this hot. It's going to go on social media. This is going to bring people into our house. But then we forget that it might bring people into our house, But when they show up, they're going to be showing up looking for the for the you.
Yeah.
And so, and if that you, when they show up, if that you is not still dropping that level of revelation that produces knowledge, people can tell, oh, this is just a show. This is just a moment, right? This is you making us cry at a dog funeral. And like, who's doing the repass? Like, where's the reception? Dang. We need to know the rest of the story. So that just brought that, to my mind. So that's a good point. When as revelators, you know, understanding the audience long past the audience. What are they taking away? When they leave, after they received it, is it a seed that's going to continue to grow? Even with comedians, there are some jokes and things that we've heard that we are still laughing at. Like, I could think back to Eddie Murphy years ago, and if I have an ice cream cone, it's I got ice cream, you know? And it's like those things that were just like remain. What's going to remain? Yeah. What is it going to grow into?
Dang, that is so good. And I think we're already doing this, but I'm going to touch on something Ryan said, but just be thinking about if you have any more advice for revelators and perhaps a funny story from speaking in another country, et cetera. I was thinking about that substance over style piece, and I was thinking about, you know, the three guys that I'm listening to the most currently. One would be Dano McCollum. And Dano is very calm and slow and measured in how he speaks. He's brilliantly when it comes to articulation and all of that. But he also reminds me of, I grew up in the hood. I've been in a few fights. And have you ever, I don't know, but have you ever been hit by someone who's so fast that you like, did I just get hit? Like, you're not even sure that you got punched in the face. That's what I feel like when I listen to Dano, because it's so calm and measured and brilliantly laid out. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, like my brain is just melted and I didn't even see it coming. It wasn't even like a forcefully impactful moment in his delivery. It was just the level of substance that he just unveiled a truth in is stunning, you know? And then I've been listening to a lot of Baxter Kruger, and he's got that heavy Southern accent. And one of my favorite things is when he reveals a deep truth in a simple story,
yes,
especially one about his grandchildren or something. And I so enjoy that. And then I've been listening to our friend, John Crowder, right? Who's fast and funny, right? He's one of the few people I don't have to speed up to double time to listen to, you know what I mean? And that'd probably be a little more my style. I like to listen to him, you know, but those are three guys that are dropping or bringing incredible substance, you know, to my life in three different styles, and the ability to soak it in and absorb that is so important. And so I would say to anybody who is a revelator, let your style be secondary to your substance and let your style be you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know, kind of like just a few things just to reiterate. One, as a revelator, take people on the journey with you.
Mm-hmm.
My early years as a reformer, as a revelator, you know, it's like I just came in like a bulldozer. I'm just going to knock down every religious wall. And if I felt religion come up when I said something, I'm going to go after it harder, you know. And that was just because I couldn't stand those lies, mm-hmm, that were constricting, and those lies that had been on my life for so long. So with that, I would say one of the things for me was loving people and truth that sets free more than lies that I hate. Like hating lies, that's definitely there, but I want to love people more than I hate lies. And I want to love freedom more than I hate the restriction of lies. Because when I love people more than I hate, see what happens is when I hate a lie, I'll go after the people that actually believe that lie, mm-hmm, and not realizing that I'm actually attacking the person with that lie, mm-hmm, more than the lie,
mm-hmm,
that's attached to the person. And I want to see the person free from the lie. So loving people in the process, in the journey, was a big thing for me. Dub, as you mentioned, stories. Find, you know, Jesus used parables all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many times have we read, the kingdom is like this, the kingdom is like that, right? And always look, I would say, always look for better language. Mm-hmm. Always be on the journey for how can I make this more palatable, right? How can I help people, you know, be able to receive this and finding the language for people to connect. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I tell people, share your journey. Mm-hmm. Share your journey, because people will connect with where you've been. And here's the other thing I would say is don't judge and criticize people in where you used to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe that the thing that I'm going after against right now, well, I believe the same mm-hmm. thing, you know, and thank you, Jesus, for Holy Spirit revelation, to where it will be easy for me to become critical of people who are in the lies that I believed mm-hmm. at one time, right? So I think that's one of the other things for me too, is just help, you know, remember where you came from, and have that mercy, have that grace for people in those. I know it can be annoying sometimes, man, especially with religious, arrogant lies, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus, help me. But Lord, I know I'd probably be in the same boat. Mm-hmm. Or at least right next to that boat.
And most people don't even realize they're believing lies. I know I didn't really mm-hmm. realize I was believing a lie until truth began to come in, and it began to come in gradually. And it was because when you don't realize you're believing a lie, and then it's being confronted that this is a lie, the natural recourse or your natural reaction is to defend the lie, and then to defend the one that's telling you the lie. Because now you're attacking my pastor. Oh, so mm-hmm. it's on, right? Because I may not fight to save my dog, but I will fight to protect my pastor. So, and or whatever that entity, you know, a person might be in your life. And so you are hitting right home, like being able to have some grace and remembering, hey, I used to believe this. And, you know, and how did I come into truth? Like, how did I begin to have layers unpeeled and unfolded? And so being able to drop revelation, begin to speak from that place. One of Jesse Duplantis, love him or like him or don't. One of the things that I've always loved about Jesse is his ability to make a rock laugh. Mm-hmm. He could make any, like, it could be a rock crying in the corner, and by the time the message was over, that rock would be crying from tears of laughter. And I think it's learning those type of mechanisms and modalities. Like, if you are a funny person and you have jokes, like being able to laugh at yourself.
Come on, yeah.
I think we all have. Brian, you don't have much to laugh at because you are about as close to perfect as Jesus.
Talk to my wife.
But these over here, we got a lot to laugh about. But I could tell that my truth and the funny parts of my journey, it gives other people permission to laugh at where they are in the journey and where they've been. And I think when we can laugh at places where we have cultivated gardens of lies, it's easier to uproot them and pick it up. Like, man, can you, I keep pulling up a rabbit out of a hole. And it's like, can you believe I thought this was the carrot? This was the thing that was still in the carrot.
Dang.
So helping them to be able to release freedom by being free, by saying, oh man, that was me too. I had a rabbit in my garden.
So good. You guys got any funny stories from speaking overseas?
Man, I got to think about that.
I would have to think about
that. Dang, just me. It's fine. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. Hilarious. Oh my goodness. I'll leave you guys with this. Remember too, that if you are a revelator and you are one who is in pursuit of the understanding and the articulation of mysteries, understand that forerunners are unique in that God follows the forerunner. I think I've said this before on here, but it bears repeating. It is Jesus in the womb of Mary who comes to Elizabeth's house where John is in the womb. And so if you are a forerunner as a revelator, you are going to pave the path of revelation for a group of people that isn't ready to land there yet. But when it is time for them to land, don't be disillusioned with the value of what you put into that runway. All of the truths that you found, all of the way that you honed your language, the way that you figured out, you know, okay, as soon as I lay this truth out, these are the questions that are going to pop up in the minds of the people who have been raised in religion And it's valid that those questions need to be addressed. And so without being frustrated by that, having your answers locked and loaded for that in order to not only take them on your journey, but to lead them effectively through theirs. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully that blesses you guys today. And so go out and speak some truth and have fun while you're doing it. We'll see you guys next episode.
You already know, it's the Joe Kingdom Perspective.